Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Welcome to episode number 77 of the Premier View podcast. Today I'm your host, Kevin Ryan, from the St. Mary's Hurling Club, Hurling and Camogie Club, and joined by Sean Smith of Turles Arseals and Stephen Cronin with Carrick Davins. Stephen, we'll start with the Tipperary-Limerick game, a narrow defeat or 7-point defeat in the end for Tipperary. We bow out of the Munster Hurling Championship now. As a Tipperary supporter now, you know, leaving the Gaelic grounds, what is your sense of the state of Tipperary hurling and the performance they gave last Sunday?
Well, look, defeat is a defeat, and it'll take a miracle to keep us in the championship, which, look, it's not going to happen. But I think you can be very happy as a Tipperary supporter for the effort and the application of their game against Limerick. Like, you know, even in Tipperary, and all around the country, we weren't given a hope in hell. You know, Limerick were going to steamroll us. They were going to put 20 points on us. And to be honest, after the low Clare game, I wasn't too confident myself. Even I tried my best to be a glass half full kind of person, but I just could not see it. I could not see it. And I said in the last podcast that this game for me was all about emotions. Like, you know, it had to be played with emotions to get the pride of the jersey again, you know, and all this. I think the bad result, they duly delivered on everything else, you know, and it was a great performance. It's a moral victories and defeats or whatever it is, but you
can't put ourselves a bit over that Sunday. I think Limerick were very subdued. They looked in second gear. Yeah, again, coming down the straight for Tipperary, we missed three chances there. Yeah, like, you know, is it that rosy a performance?
Look, no, I'd agree that Limerick were poor, but that's not our problem. Like, when Tipperary blew up last year, blew a 10 or 12 point lead, that wasn't Limerick's problem. They still had a job to do. You know, Tipperary still had a job to do. Limerick,
and we didn't
poor,
do it, Stephen.
No, they didn't get the result. No, but they didn't get the result. But Limerick being poor with the missed shots, the missed puck and the missed control, Tipperary still had to chase them down. They still had to to work their own selves and 100%. You know, they had to apply their own selves to the best that they can, and they did all that. And that's, you know, along with Limerick being poor, but as well, the pressure applied helped Limerick be poor as well, if you get me. Like, you know, they didn't just have it their own way and constantly walls through the tip defence and put a ball wide. It wasn't that case. Like, they were under a lot of pressure. There was a lot of big hitting. There was a lot of, like, just Conor Stegman, for example, brand new in this year, only a young man. And, geez, I'd love to see the stats on the GPS vest on him. Like, you know, that kind of stuff, that warms the heart, like, and the work rate and the aggression of Dylan Quirk there. Bit of a question mark over him there, because the last two, like, will he be consistent? The last game, we were kind of poor. Jesus, lads, that's the kind of stuff we want to see going forward. And, you know, if Tip contributed to Limerick being poor as well now, that has to be said. You know, I don't think Limerick just didn't turn up, like, you know, and so, like, I'd be happy enough with the performance. We all knew it was going to take a big performance to be in with a chance, and the performance gave us a chance towards the end, but we tired, took the wrong option, and, you know, Limerick took over then.
Sean, would you agree with that? Or
yeah, kind of. I was watching, like, I seen, looking at the game, and going, when are Limerick going to start hurling? The first half thing between both teams was 20 wide. It was still, the standard wasn't exactly all out gunning by both teams, but we kind of took advantage more so on their poorship. And, like, our lads, to be honest, like, that the team we had in the field, if you named out that team at the start of the year as being the team we're playing Limerick in the championship as good as a knockout game, you'd be like, what? Why? Or how did this even happen? Like, so to be fair, the lads stood up that were there. The only lad, Conor Staken there, like, as I said, he hurled some ball on top of everything. But, like, Noah McGrath, like, we mentioned Noah McGrath there last week in the pod, like, we need these lads to step up. And, by God, Noel, he just did it. Like, you know, he's exceptional. Like, his line ball he put over, just his attitude looked. He had that bit of go about him, and, like, when the day he leaves, that Bloom go jersey be a sad day, but it was just the last 2 minutes, the bad wise, didn't take our chances. Like, Limerick were there, like, they were, and kind of, there were, what, 27,000 below, I'd say 25,000 were Limerick, and they were worried until 7 or 8 minutes to go. Like, you know, there was, their team weren't made to pass the ball 10 yards at times. Like, there was, we just couldn't take advantage. That's the thing again, just what could have been.
That's probably the most disappointing thing for me, Sean. You know, obviously, look, delighted with the performance to a degree, but again, coming down after, I said to myself, looking at the game, you know, like Tipperary kind of nudging ahead for most of it after, you know, midway in the first half, I said, get to about 60 minutes. Well, at first I said, get to 55 minutes. Then I said, get to 60 minutes. And then I'd actually believe that there's a win in it. We actually got there before Limerick took over. But we hit three bad wides just on that period, and I think it sucked the energy out of us. And, you know, do you think that bit of composure, that bit of experience will come? Or do you think that's just at the level we're at? Maybe we don't have the finishers, the closers, to get over the line now where we are.
Yeah, you did mention that to the Kevin there. Like, you're saying we need to stay with him, but close the games out. Like, you get, no, you don't get a cup for winning in 60 minutes like in these games. No. Like, where does that come from? Does that come from the experience lads having a field? Like, we hadn't much of a bench to bring on. Like, where does it come from? But, like, Limerick, with the other side, were able to drive on the last 7 or 8, 9 minutes. They had that. Where did they get that from? Like, these are the things that we need to, going forward, to learn. Like, I know it's grand patting ourselves in the back. We lost by 7 points, but, you know, we're still out of the Munster Championship, and it's 12th to May, like, today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think some of the decisions towards the end, which, like, Tipper, where, you know, they were hurling so hard, running so hard, that they had to be ahead. And this, you just knew as soon as they went behind, the energy was gone. And you'd be hoping, I know there's video analysis now going on all over the country, but you'd be hoping they'd be sitting down and they'd be playing the clicker back and forth and going over a couple of the decisions that need to be better. Like, you know, there's just one, without picking on him, was Jake Morris. He's Robert Byrne run off down the line, freeze a bird, and he tried to throw it over his shoulder to, you know, these are not decisions you expect from Noel McGrath or Shamey to do. Like, you know, the younger lads need to learn the correct decisions.
I'd add one. It was Jar Brown, who, you know, who was otherwise excellent. and he had Jake Morris, I think, inside him in a great position going for the ball. Right? Yeah. And I think he was just gassed at that stage and he didn't see him. And he hit a bad wide if it even went wide.
Like, I think, you know, the ability, the talent and the experience, that'll all come, but you have to be willing to learn. You know, you have to be, like, we all know that famous scene where early in 2010, is it, or 2009, when Bonamar went in, he took the wrong option and Owen and Lahr kind of had words with him, like, you know. And then, was it 2010, they were going through on goal. Bonamar gave a lovely pass. Lahr buried it. And you had all the boys then, you know, pointing to the head and they're thinking. Right decisions, correct decisions. That's all. It's efficiency. You know, someone else scoring an easy point is far more valuable than you trying to score a hard point. You know, if that makes sense. Because a hard point, they might not come off. Like that, it's the execution in the last third kind of lets us down, especially towards the end of the game. When you're getting tired. When you're getting tired, that's when you need to make the right decisions.
And I think, Stephen, just that we'll come to it later on, but I think you could really see that in the minor game last night with the amount of wides and stuff. And, you know, I think Tip hit, lucky to get away with it in the end, but three bad wides in a row with the game in the mix. But yeah, I think last Sunday, the wides that both teams hit, you know, Limerick had that extra bit of quality, you know, to get the goals in the end. But yeah, that could have been the difference. On goals, as old saying, goals win games. Tipperary's goals record in this championship doesn't make for pretty reading. Waterford conceded 2, Clare conceded 3, and just the game just gone. Limerick conceded 3 again. That's with a change of goalkeeper there. But do we need to look, as well as maybe increasing our efficiency, as Stephen said, in the forwards, do we need to look at the backs? Are we just under that much pressure that the goal chances for the opposition will inevitably come?
I think a lot of the first year for Colin Bonner, and you know, we mentioned how many people that have either retired, withdrawn, or injured this year. Like, the first year is just all going to be learning. Like, against Clare, like, we had a good performance down in Welsh Park, and you know, first game of the year, and everyone's mad for it. Against Clare, we got a positioning completely wrong. You know, it was so naive that it may as well have been a club game. Against Limerick, then getting caught in front of the back. Like, these are things. Now, I know two experienced men got caught in that, but these are things at inter-county level that you switch off for 1 second and you'll be punished. You know, and it's, you'd be hoping going forward, we're looking at all these things, we're analysing them as well. You know, like, you don't only work on a training field, you work in the video room too, and you'd be hoping that's something they'll touch on now over the winter and next year, and try and shore up a bit better, and as I said, work on the other side of things then, and hopefully we're the ones scoring goals next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we did, I suppose, I also have to point out that we did score 2 goals against Waterford and Clare as well. Probably should have a few more, certainly against Clare, and probably left a couple behind us against Limerick as well. So, you know, we are showing a bit of promise in that area.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Like, Michael Breen should have had a goal. That he was unlucky for the one he had to kind of reach over a man and swipe. That's one of them ones that can go either way. But that one where he threw the ball out a fraction too far in front of him, that's, you know, that for me was a backs strike. Like, he'd long handle it a hurley. If that was Shamey Callanan going through there, or even Noel McGrath, you know that hurley's half gripped. Little flick of the wrist that's gone into the bottom corner. And it was just that could have, you know, could have been huge for Tip at the time. And these are the things we have to be clinical with. Like, prime Shamey Callanan scores them goals, you know. So someone has to step up now and be our goal scorer as well. You know, we can't be missing all these kind of chances every game. It's not good enough at that level.
Sean, do you agree with that? Do you think the forwards need to be more clinical?
Yeah, like, Breen got through. This wasn't the right lad to be in that position. Like, I would have rather got the ball and ran towards net and ran the ball in, or kicked it, or I don't know, fed up, like, did something. You knew when he threw the ball up, he wasn't going to connect, and it was a no dribbly oak.
Like, yeah, it was good scramble defence, I thought, for...
Yeah. It was, but he got used to being in that position around the 14-yard line, like, because then the lads in Perry were saying if that was an old Lahr Carr or Shane McCallan, they would just turn back in, shorten the grip, and bang. But, like, he done well to even get in positions, but, like, are we depending on Breen? Like, should we be depending on Breen in these games to score goals for us? No, Breen isn't our goal scorer, like, you know, so that's kind of, we haven't got him at the moment. Like, you know, against Limerick, there was half chances, like, there's nothing too clinical. But again, it goes back then to taking our chances. Like, if that going in the first half of Breen, game over, second half, a few bad wides again, but two teams are bad. If one team to score more, they're going through, but we just couldn't get it.
And yeah, then, Sean particular stuff. I do have to highlight the performance of Conor Stakeham, I think, as Stephen said there. You know, he ran himself into the ground. He looks like he could be a right find going forward. And also, I think Jar Brown, who's, you know, seems to have announced himself, hopefully, onto the Tipperary hurling scene with that performance, and will come back stronger, fitter, kind of next year, you know. So,
yeah, there are two fines. We said Jar Brown had to, like, you know, he's showing stuff, and we said last week he had to show up, and he did, to be honest to him, and Conor slotted in there, and Conor's work rate was phenomenal. But Jar Brown has something. Like, these lads, they're young, like, play them in, and we're missing players on our midfield half hour line. And sure, we're harping on the last few years, are we? Who's our midfielder half hour? Like, there's two lads there that are stepped in now and putting their name on a jersey, that's for sure. Like,
absolute. You know, and we wouldn't be expecting all the changes. I'm not sure Paddy Cadell was injured going off just before half time. For me, he was solid enough, but I'm sure he'll be a lad that has another day or two in him as well. Good to see the mind lads coming on as well. Like, so, you know, we are getting kind of games into lads as well. We always knew it would be a tough day out on. I think we're being joined at the moment by Colin Purcell from Clonmelogue as well.
Hi lads, how's it going?
Hi Colin, so your thoughts on Sunday?
Well, I suppose, like Kevin, catching the tail end of the conversation there, and I suppose, look, we lost the game, that's the first thing, and I think I heard Sean mention that, like, you know, like, we can't be doing moral victories. You know, I was less disappointed after the Limerick game than I was after the Waterford game. As you know, I felt the Waterford game was a game that we left behind us. I didn't really think that on Sunday. I always felt Limerick were going to have a push and were probably going to catch us near the end. You know, they're ahead of us in strength and conditioning. They looked fitter than us. But then again, a team who's winning or getting on top always looks fitter than the team who's losing, if you know what I mean. So I don't want, I mean, and I'm not obviously qualified enough to talk about, you know, how fit Tip are or aren't. One thing that I did think after the game was, you know, like, we play Cork now on Sunday week or whenever it is. And after that, then that's the end of our collective Tip hurling training for, I don't know how long, like, do they come back next November or December then, you know? So, you know, already I feel that we're falling, you know, you're falling a little bit behind the other counties who will go on now and hurl for a good part of the next 6 or 8 weeks, you know, and will stay together and, you know, do their work and have a chance to build on their game. You know, it was noticeable that a couple of the newer players in particular on Sunday, maybe Jer Brown, for example, you know, didn't look as bulked up or as strong as some of his opponents on the Limerick team, you know. But look at, like, you know, for 60 minutes, we more than matched Limerick. We had them in trouble. We had their game disrupted. You know, we were given as good as we got. We had a few chances. And I suppose on the goal chances, again, just to say, this is a recurring issue, if I could call it an issue. You know, we spoke about this on the pod throughout the spring there, that if you take out the Antrim game, we were struggling to score goals all through the league as well, you know, and that came back to kind of haunt us again last Sunday. I think if we managed to get one goal, like, we were always going to need a few goals, you know, because we knew ourselves Limerick were going to hit 27 or 28 points or whatever they hit, and they have a habit of doing that, you know. So So in a long-winded way, look, I'm disappointed that we lost a Munster Championship match. I was very proud of the players and very proud of how they performed. You know, they died with their boots on. And I think a seven-point defeat probably didn't do, you know, the scoreline didn't do the performance justice,
if I could put it like that. That. In particular, Colin, yeah, you're right. That shows, I suppose, the cruelty almost of senior inter-county hurling at this. Like, you know, that you can't just play well for 60 minutes. Is in that if you're only conditioned to play for 60 minutes, then you will lose games and teams will pull away. It's almost exhibition stuff. And, you know, they got the lead out to 9 points at one stage and know that a couple of late placed balls to bring it back into seven, which is, I think, a little bit more of a fit player. As we can't finish our discussion on this game without mentioning the latest Galan incident, I suppose. Was it a red card for ye? Sean, I'll go to you first.
It was, yeah. It's just when you're pulling the wrong direction, a foot above a ball, you're not intending to go for the ball. Whether you pull out or not, you're going for it. Like, I don't know. Like, lads harping on, but his attention was there to hit Ronan. Like, you know.
Like, for me, that I'm slightly at the time, I think, you know, it's a yellow slash red at the time, you know, it's either or. Like, I'd say it's very much a, like, you could call it like a dark yellow, like, you know, or a soft red or whatever. Like, you know, as in he didn't absolutely hatchet the man, like, you know, but I can see why the ref didn't get it, didn't give it. You know, like, again, you're looking at the pundits on the Sunday game saying yes and no, and probably coming down and saying no, it wasn't. Every tip support I've thought they said yes. Like, you know, I'd maybe go with the crowd a little bit on it. Stephen or Colin, for you, red or yellow?
For me, 100% red. I think if, like, the ball might have been low. You know, I'm all for hard hurling, you know, getting right stuck into each other. But there's rules there also. In the modern day hurling to protect players, you know, what protection did Ronan Maher have going down on that ball?
Like, yeah, but look, Stephen, if that's the red card in South Tipperary hurling,
that's not two lads pulling on a ball and one lad just being slightly late. That's a man already bent down, and a fella coming in from side pulling across him. The thing we're forgetting is he was nowhere near the ball. Absolutely nowhere near it, you know. And like, I love the, like, I think two lads, you know, if they're jostling at each other and hitting each other, jabbing the ribs, I think get on with the game. Like, you know what I mean? But the rules have changed now where that's a red card. But are you going to tell me that's more of a red card than what Aaron Galan did? Even like, Aaron Galan was a foot away from the ball, a foot high, and pulled straight across Ronan Maher. Like, that. Like, if that, I can't see how there's any defense of that at all, you know. And I think it was a bottle job from the referee to not give him. He saw it was a foul. Well, Aaron Galan pulled. It's a strike. A strike is a red card. And I just think it's absolutely crazy. Like, that wasn't a red card. And what makes me more bitter about it is, it's the second year in a row. He's after avoiding a red card for a dirty challenge when Tip were ahead, and who knows what could have happened in the game.
It's definitely in the post for him. I think he got one during the league early on, but you know, there's definitely a big championship red in the post for him.
You hear a lot, Kevin, you know, when a guy gets sent off, you hear, oh, he's not that kind of player, sort of in mitigation of him, you know what I mean? But you see, with Aaron Galan, he is that kind of player. And I think that's sort of, you know, I'd be kind of saying it's a red card, but or a dark yellow, a bit like yourself. Yeah, I'm not 100%, having watched it several times now, that it was a red card. But what's really swaying me towards it is the man who did it, you know, that it was Galan. And I feel he is that type of player, and that is in his game. And I think he knew well who he was hitting when he went across, you know. And again, a little bit like we asked on the podcast a few weeks previously, if a Tipperary player had committed that foul, do we think it would be a red card? Do we think our friend Anthony Daly would be on the television saying that it's not a red card? Because I think they would be saying it's a red card. I referenced Ronan Maher's challenge back in, was it 2019, you know, where he shouldered a guy coming out with the ball and they wanted him hung, drawn and quartered for it. Like, you know, so, you know, I think, if you know, I understand the point you're making, certainly, and I tend to agree with you. You know, if it was a different player, I'd probably have more of a question in my head. But looking at who it was and how it was executed, and as Stephen said, this is the second year in a row, I think he went with intent there. He was pulling away from the goal as well. I think a red card, yeah, red card.
And either way, I think it could have been pivotal. You know, the fact that it was a red.
Yeah.
Tipperary beginning to flag a bit now. You know, it would have transformed, I think, the energy of the game completely, you know, if it was a red or if it hadn't been given.
I think what played a part in the referee's decision as well was the furore around the few legitimate red cards the Limerick got in the league this year. You know, Grod Hegarty got a red card, a legitimate red card, a legitimate sending off in the league, and there was uproar all over the country about it. Like, Grod Hegarty, oh my God, he's being victimised, he's getting a red. You know, they had one or two reds, and there was, it made the airwaves all over the country. And I think that the whinging and moaning that the Limerick people did back then, I think was in the back of the referee's mind. Because if Ronan Mara now, for instance, was pulling on the ball and Galan was as late as he was, then I'd say, you know what, lads, there's a little bit, these things happen. But Ronan Mara was picking up the ball. He was, his knee was nearly touching the ground. He was so low to the ground. And the other lad comes in and just absolutely flakes across him. Jesus, lads. If that's not a red card,
Yeah, and I suppose there was a bit of controversy. Well, not even controversy, but there was a bit of fallout after the game as well with a player being dropped off the Limerick panel. The game hasn't been without cost for them. Again, I see on Premier View lads saying, maybe like there's two sides to every story, but it might be a bit of Stockholm syndrome at this stage, but I think like it adds to the narrative that maybe this Limerick, there's certain individuals there that they might not be the nicest kind of bunch, or there's good competitive spirit and all that, but it can turn unhealthy at some stage. So yeah, look, we won't mention anything like that or go into that incident a lot, but look, best wishes to the Tipperary player involved for a speedy recovery there. In slightly better news, for the minors, what's now our minors, our under 17s, our Munster champions, after a tense penalty shootout last night, a great win against Clare. F you, Anthony Daly. On it, I see he was out moaning about the unfairness of a penalty shootout or whatever.
I bet he was.
So, I couldn't speak highly enough of the attitude and the work rate of this Tip team. Went down to 14 players, midway through the second half. I thought at that stage, that they would have their work really cut out. I think they went 4 points down against Clare. Got a great goal to bring them back into it. Extra time was a tough watch now because the players were the ones that had played up to the 18 minutes were out on their feet. That we mentioned decision making can go awry for senior players, in and around that 60 minute mark. But for lads when they're 16 and 17, there was, some great skill and all that. But yeah, they were, I suppose, lads going down with cramp and all the rest of it. And, maybe the kind of shooting accuracy and all the rest of it. It suffered a bit, but look, yeah, we hung on in there. We got a great leveling point with the last puck of the game, after missing a few frees. I think there was a minute of extra time, injury time played in the initial kind of 16 minutes there. Maybe, to me, having won the game, I can say it probably was warranted because there was a Clare lad down for the first minute of that game. But if we didn't win, I'd be bulling on it. Went to penalties then. We went 3-0. So Fergal Horgan's son, I suppose, the hero, scoring one and saving a couple as well. First, I don't know if you see, I know Wednesday's a busy night with training and all that, but did you have a chance to either get to Limerick or to watch the game?
I was half listening to two of them and then trying to watch on the phone at the same time while blowing the NCT Centre and Clare. So I saw them kind of meet the second half next time, but Tip did hit bad wides. The game we're going back to bad wides. We could have lost that game. If we lost that game, it was because of bad wides. Why are we kind of talking about wides again? But to fair now, the boys dug in with 40 men. The point we got there to level it, Jesus. The free was trying to look at the phone. I was like, this is Cam going over. And then, in fairness, Paddy slotted over. And you have to think as well, Tom Lane has kept very quiet. Clare had the work done on him, but yet the other players around him stood up, which is great to see. Not depending on one lad. Another way, the headlines were all about Tom Delaney last day when, and then if other lads have stepped in then, Darren McCarthy came on there and got 3 points away.
Yeah, the versus, and it is an unusual kind of free taking technique, isn't it, that he had? It's almost like a kind of John, like remind me of a Johnny Wilkinson kind of rugby kind of technique and kind of sizing away from it. But it certainly works, such as the clutch moment last night after missing a couple of them.
Kevin, I was involved in the highlights of and it doesn't get any better than South Tipperary Intermediate football last night. So I didn't get to see the game. I was involved in a real thriller in Manila outside in Ardfinnan. But when I got home, I got to see the penalties and look, it was fantastic for the team to get over the line and to win the game. And I think given what had happened with the under-20s and with the seniors, obviously in the last 7 days, it was very important for sort of the morale and the psyche in the county that we got a victory. Because I get the impression, and you know, I taught this at the start of the year, that there's a little bit of apathy, negativity towards the hurling setup in the county at the moment. You know, like obviously for us, we're still as interested as ever. And I think the listeners to the podcast, if they're not half asleep by now, are as interested as ever, you know, and listening to us talking about it and following the games. But, you know, attendances at games this year that Tipperary have been involved in have generally been poor. So it was good to see a Tipperary team on the TV last night win a game. One other thing I just noticed, if I could, just on the penalty shootout after the game, it was a pity we didn't get TG4, excellent coverage as always, but we didn't get a chance to see the cup being presented. And maybe the spectre has seen a couple of Bangardi being assaulted or somebody getting booed as they lifted up the cup. But we won't go back to the under-21 game in Ennis again. But just when the lads took off their helmets, it just reminded me, like, they're the only young chaps, like, you know, they're very, very young. And you know, we have to take account of that as well. They're you know, what are they, 15 and 16 year olds playing, like, you know, so they deserve great credit at that age for putting on such a show. And it's, you know, it's, if as you said, that, you know, the shooting and the decision making flagged a little bit towards the end, that's perfectly understandable. You know, when you see them with the helmets off and you just realize how young they are. And, you know, I think I said it on the podcast last week, I'd be more in favor of the under 17 grade going back to under 18 and maybe the under 20s going back to under 21. I just think for as a spectacle outside of last night, I preferred certainly under 18 hurling to under 17 hurling. But that's not to take away from last night at all. And, you know, to congratulate James Woodlock and his management team, Brendan Ferris, who we know ourselves, Kevin, you know, the fair play, and it's fantastic. And
I just want to pick up on that, Colin, as well, and bring the other lads in as well. When you look at the profile of clubs on the team,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
we said it before, you had a full back line of South Tipperary, but you have two junior clubs there, Ballylubie, Cashel Grace, and Feddert, you know, and Carrick Swans in there as well. You've said Mary's representing the half back line alongside Portrow, Nina Aroge being the only Dan Breen team, if you like, Owen Horrigan from Knockville and goal.
Yeah,
Barca Kane and Knockavilla again in midfield. You've Kappa White, Harris and Upper Church, and you know, and then you've Barca Lee, Care and Garton Hugh Glengould. These are clubs that, you know, wouldn't be used to a bit of spotlight. You've Father Sheehy's and Kilsheelan on the bench, like to not pick out. You know,
you've North Harris and they're winning county fines.
Those players,
and like in that case, North Harris and they're winning the last number of county fines. So that shows the kind of talent around the county when, you know, that usually the team that wins county final has a couple of players on the team and work around them.
And the management, I suppose, Sean, that they didn't just okay, we'll go and watch, you know, the two strongest teams.
Yeah, exactly. They went out and picked out players from junior teams, you know, like exactly. Tom Delaney lads, like, wouldn't go looking for him lads. That's what you need. Like, you just don't need a team full of a few mid lads in North and one or two accomplishments from the South. Like, you don't want that. Like, that's to develop anyone.
And credit to James Woodlock. What that does is, that tells you, lads, earn your jersey, earn your spot. If you're good enough, you'll be in here and you'll earn it. Yeah. And I think that comes back to the bottle shown by the tip players, especially the free at the end. Paddy McCormick, that's his name?
Paddy McCormick, yeah.
Like, he got a boon for that free off the clear crowd. He pushed over the bar. Like, you know, last puck of the game, he got a boot, but he nerves a steel to put that over the bar. And then the other thing, what James is after instilling in this team, Sean mentioned earlier, that the young Delaney was held fairly well last night. He scored 112 from play last week. He's held fairly. The rest of the boys around him rallied around him, and we ended up going on and winning the game. Now, I know it was through two penalties, but you take a lad that's scoring 112 in a inter-county championship match and you hold him. In a lot of places, in a lot of clubs or a lot of counties, they wilt then, you know. They take someone that with that talent, take his way, his scoring prowess, and they wilt. The rest of the boys rallied around him. That, for me, that's brilliant mental ability, you know. And geez, like, to come out of that game last night, they went a man down, scored a point. The way the controversy with the Clare equaliser so late to recover from that, to score the point in the last play of the game the way he scored it, and to perform with your probably one of your best forwards, maybe, you know, held a little bit quiet. Like that, the serious mental toughness in that young team there now last night.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing we've leashed off in the Leinster final on Monday, Galway have to come into the competition along with Clare, and who play a mini group with, and Clare and the losers of Leash and Offaly, the top two out of those three will feed back into the All-Ireland semi-final. So Tipperary are well poised now. Look, James Woodlock in his interview saying, look, he loves playing games, and he's probably right at this level. You learn a lot, as you would have done from that win last night. But, you know, it's great to see kind of Tip, get good support in an All-Ireland semi-final and have every chance of going on in this competition. Like, you know, it would be just such a boost and such a shot in the arm as well. Last week, you know, we were all on looking, we seem to be in Limerick every couple of days now. But, you know, it was the turn of our under-20s who unfortunately came up short in their final. You know, the thing about that, I suppose, in a Munster final, it's not often that it's actually a knockout game. In this day and age, that there's usually a back door, but you know, unfortunately for us, we did come up short. Again, maybe a bit of shooting and a bit of decision making led us down against, you know, in fairness, they were up against a good team as well. So and he managed to make it to that one. But again, Brendan Cummins, he has done a very good job with that group who wouldn't maybe be used to winning as well, and a lot of them are underage next year.
Yeah, look, a very strong Limerick team, Kevin. That was evident, you know, on the night. They were very good, and you know, actually mirrored their senior team in many ways, didn't they? In their style of play and the way that they went about their business. But look, from a Tip point of view, probably the poor start. You know, we were playing catch up all night, and you know, there was a couple of scores got just before half time as well. I think they went 7 or 8 out in front, Limerick, like, and you felt, Jesus, this is slipping away from us now, like, yeah. You know. But in fairness, in the second half, We ebbed away at it. And just again, you mentioned the decision making. There was a few times there I thought if they had fed the full forward line a little bit more with ball, I felt that there was probably a few goals we got inside there. But we went back to that trait of driving Hail Marys from, you know, out the field that were dropping wide, and you were, you know, it was just a little bit frustrating to see that happening. But again, look at young players, you know, hostile enough atmosphere, big match, you know, it's, I wouldn't be in any way critical of them for that. And in fact, I would say that, you know, if we could have got level, you know, or even got our noses in front, there was something about that team that they might have held on, you know, but we just couldn't. We got it back to 2 points. If we get it back to 1 point at one stage, we just couldn't get level, you know. And it takes, you know yourselves, lads, from playing or being involved, it takes an enormous effort to get back a 7 or an 8 point lead. You know, you expend a lot of energy doing that, you know. So just unfortunately came up short. But the good news is there's 3 or 4 lads there that you definitely would earmark as having a chance of playing senior hurling for us in the next few years. Like, and that's what that's about, that grade is about. It's about development.
Absolutely, Colin. And look, there's good news, and there's even better news is that Premier Review podcast exclusive that Stephen Cronin has been invited into the Tipperary setup for their match against Limerick, the footballers, on Saturday evening, you know, to give the team talk. I think they're going to hold you in reserve, and if things are going bad at half time, you're going to get the signal from Davy Power now to come down. So, big game on Saturday evening in the big ball. With Tipperary versus Limerick, I think, you know, it's a real 50-50. Best of luck to the footballers if they win. I think they avoid the talent for a bad thing. Could be a good thing for everyone that's waiting to get the club action going in Tip anyway. But I don't know if anyone wants to have a comment. Colm, you're the resident big ball man from your exploits yesterday. So
I'm far from an expert on anything, Kevin, as you know, but look, I suppose there's a few injury concerns going into the game. Robbie Kiley, Bill Maher, Keith, or Kevin Fahey from commercials, I think, is a doubt as well. You know, and you know, there's two of the three of those are serious runners, serious pace merchants. Like, you know,
we might have to edit that. So if that's not general knowledge, Colin, go ahead.
But you know, they're you know, if there's a few injuries around the middle third of the field, you know, and you lose that injection of pace. It, you know, it's a massive loss. Like, so It's very much a 50-50 game. I wouldn't argue with you on that at all. Limerick had a, you know, I think Clare were strongly fancied to beat Limerick in the previous round, and you know, a game that went to penalties as well, and Limerick got through it. And Limerick have had a good league campaign as well, you know, got to a league final and it got promoted, and you know, are a Division Two team next year, I think. So, you know, it's very much a 50-50 game. With a carrot of a Munster final, and I think at the start of the year we would have said that get promotion from Division Four is your first aim. Second aim then is to try and get to a Munster final, and if that's achieved, to me that's a very good year for Tipperary football.
Absolutely, best of luck to them. One game in the Munster Championship this weekend: Cork versus Waterford. Not even sure if that's the one that's on in Thurles. It's a must win really for both teams. On it's definitely a must win for Cork if they have any ambitions to get out of Munster.
It's on Welsh Park. I think it's on Welsh Park.
Yeah, you're right. It's on Welsh Park.
He who won't
be named will be was calling for the Waterford support to turn out midweek. So maybe that bandwagon is hitting the buffers already. But yeah, is it Waterford this weekend? We'd have no Grow for Cork, I suppose, here or no.
If Cork win, they have a chance in a beating out to qualify. So like if they win, I wouldn't mind baiting them to knock them out of it. Like, not in a way. Mm-hmm. Last day, like, you know, it could be.
I'd nearly be going, if it's a chance of water for going out, you know, I'd be going.
I would
get out the Liverpool jersey and head to Semple or something.
So. Here. I think, Kevin, we've fallen into the trap, the two of us, of sort of, you know, believing this old Cork is Cork kind of rubbish, like, and we keep kind of tipping them, you know that they can't be actually as bad as they appear to be.
Yeah, it's the last day out, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but I think actually, funny enough, the game being on in Welsh Park, I don't think Welsh Park it doesn't necessarily suit Waterford's style of play, okay? And maybe the tip game, you can reference the tip game in that as well. So I'm trying to make an argument that I give Cork a chance, and every time I do it, I'm
going to give them one last chance.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you here. I'm going to give them one last chance as well.
They were lucky when the demand sent off against Clare. They showed a bit more. They rallied a bit. They could have got Clare if they can bring that tiny bit of form into them against Waterford and win a shootout in the game of non-contact hurling. I know Waterford won't want to play it like that, but yeah, that's how they could do it, maybe,
I'm sure Stephen is in our camp on this as well, that he wants Waterford knocked out as quick as possible too. Like,
absolutely.
You know.
But I'll tell you what's going to happen with Cork now, and I've been saying it all year. Cork have been piss poor all year, and they'll be piss poor again the weekend, but they'll turn up against Tip. They'll boot the hole off me after I cut the back off them all year.
Will they even bother playing that game if they lose on...
They lose the weekend, I think, against Waterford. They're done. They're gone. The shackles are off. There's no pressure on them. They'll go up and they'll hurl with abandon in Semple Stadium against Tipperary. That's what's going to happen. I know it. If Cork beats Waterford Sunday, there's still a smidgen of hope for Tipperary. I know they're going to go down there and roll over. No, they are.
Yeah, I just couldn't look Tipper out in my mind. I made peace with it. You know,
Limerick are going to Ennis on Sunday as well, so they are 4:00.
Jeez, I forgot about
this weekend.
Yeah,
sure, probably hard to see a Limerick win. I think you might just put kind of marker down now, just win it, get into the Munster final, be done with it.
Rumour has it they're out on Sunday night, they might not be fully focused.
Yeah, them lads, their drink has gone out on fucking Monday evening in a session.
I think there'll be a rocket fired on them. So. I think there'll be a rocket fired on them at the next night at training after the tip game. I think they'll have to go out and show the country that they're the best team in Ireland. And I think they'll go out and they could hammer Clare.
Yes. Especially with all the bad press at the moment going on as well and stuff. So they're not kind of the most liked at the moment. Kind of a lot of WhatsApps going on about them, no?
Also, there's a little bit of pressure on Limerick, but also, like, that was the first full game against Tipperary without Keane Lynch. He's a massive factor for them, a massive loss. They have to prove now, can they go on out and hurl without him for the rest of the year? You know, that could be the little, the carrot we need falling over and the whole thing coming the whole thing. I'm just praying Galway stop them. No one else. Yeah. Galway. I don't like any of the rest of them.
I would like to keep an eye in Parnell Park or Pro Park, wherever it's being played, the Dubs in Kilkenny. You know, if Kilkenny lose that one, they're in a bit of trouble, and it's a knockout game against Wexford in the last round. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely bubbling to the top now, all the round robins. Sadly, despite what Sean may say, where I don't think we're involved, or Stephen may say, like, we're... I won't have the calculator out on Sunday afternoon.
I think if you lose three games out of three, you don't anymore.
You know what I mean? And look at I'll give a very hesitant vote to Cork on Sunday, because I could never tip Waterford. You know, I just couldn't, in all consciousness, ever tip them to do anything. So I'll tip Cork. Clare Limerick game, you know, it's hard to go past Limerick. And as well as that, if you know, it's hard to, like, you know, fair play to Clare, they've beaten Tip and Cork, but they've beaten Tip and Cork at their absolute lowest, if that makes sense. You know, they've beaten two of the poorest Tip and Cork teams that we've seen in a while. So they're going to come up against, unfortunately, the two top dogs in Munster now in the next game. So that'll give us a better idea of where Clare are at, probably. But they're at enough of a place that they're going to qualify, I think, to the next round of the All-Ireland Series. And you know, I'd certainly be very happy for us to do that, you know, so more power to them on that. Dublin and Kilkenny, I always tip Kilkenny. I just, you know, I even watched them in the under-20 hurling the other night against Wexford, and they feckin' dogged it out again at the end. There, you know what I mean? Wexford missed a, I don't want to say it was a sitter, but, you know, they missed a really good chance in the end to level the game. And, you know, just, there's something about Kilkenny. They're never bet on your back on the bus and halfway home again, you know, so... I don't think they'll win in All-Ireland, but I think they'll have enough to beat Dublin on Sunday or Saturday night or whatever it's on. Or
yeah, Galway, Saturday night, but it's... I don't know, there's something...
Will they do it without the Ballyhale boys?
This game will show a lot about Kilkenny, I think.
you're reading too many WhatsApp
messages. Yeah. Right, folks. Right, gents. We'll leave it there. Thanks, Billy, for your input. Best of luck to... Well, there's no tip team playing this weekend, but enjoy the weekend's action.
Up tip. Thanks, guys.